All right, here we go. Another edition of Talkin' Dodgers. Ooh, this is going to be a good one. Talkin' Dodgers is brought to you by Rot Your Brain Media. This episode is brought to you by Command Creative Studios. Looking to jump into the podcast world and start making some content? Command Creative Studios is your one-stop shop for professional podcasts. With a team of audio engineers, music composers, and graphic designers, Command Creative Studios can get your podcast sounding professional as well as looking professional. For more information, please visit CommandCreativeStudios.com. Looks like it's just a duo episode. It's just me and Mike. Max has the night off for, you know, Jets reasons. You know,
when they won today, at least. It's
tough being a Jets fan because when they win a football game, you got to celebrate like it's... like it's Super a Super Bowl.
That's exactly
it
right.
It doesn't happen a lot. So
seriously.
Max is kind of out of his mind at the moment. So unfortunately, he won't be here for this pinnacle episode of Talking Dodgers. By the way, don't forget to click that like and subscribe button. Help us spread like a virus. Don't forget, we are on YouTube as well. For everyone who's an audio listener, go check out our YouTube page. Check out that content. Please click the subscribe. You'll get notifications when we go and upload new episodes. All right, so this is what's on deck. We have a new club, and it has been formed.
Big day today.
It's a new club that's been formed in Major League Baseball, the 50-50 Club, and the founder is Shohei Ohtani. So not only did he do that, could this possibly have been the greatest offensive baseball game of all time? We will not dive too deep into it, but we'll just talk about it and give you some of the highlights. Kershaw throws 80 pitches in a bullpen session. What does that actually mean? Bobby Miller and Michael Grove have been sent down to the minors. Looks like we have more of an idea of what our four-man rotation is going to look like in the playoffs. We're going to recap the Marlins-Dodgers series, and we'll preview the Rockies-Dodgers series coming up this weekend. Our magic number is, I believe, 8. I didn't actually look at it, but I'm pretty sure it's 8. If Max was here...
we'd know.
Not celebrating, we would actually know what that number is. Of course, we could look it up, but it's going to be one of those shows.
We'll take a look at it as we go.
We'll take a look at it. So, all right. So, we have a new club, and it has been founded by Shohei Ohtani. Just really quick, let me give you the stats. We're gonna because I know I have two different segments, one for the greatest offensive game.
Before you get started, as I was watching this unfold today, all I could think of... his Wayne's World. We're not worthy. We're not worthy. We're not worthy. Like every time he played, was at bat today and another, you know, we'll talk about how great he did, but that's all that was popping into my head was the way, you know, Wayne's World, you know, Mike Myers' character. You know, we're not worthy. Like nuts. I'm speechless watching it unfold today.
Yeah. So when he hit the 40-40 club, he got the 40th stolen base and he got the 40th home run in the same game, which was a walk-off homer. So somehow he manages to outdo himself and get the 50th stolen base in the same game, the 50th home run in the same game, but then, you know, even get more than that. He ends up at the end of the night, he now has 51 stolen bases and he has 51 home runs. That's incredible. So to go over the stat line that he actually has, listen to this. This is ridiculous. And he almost hit for the cycle, which is also crazy as well. So he goes 6 for 6. He has 3 home runs, 2 stolen bases, 10 RBIs, 2 doubles. Also, he has a single. But one of those doubles was very close to being a triple. He could have hit for the cycle as well. That's insane. This is just ridiculous. Like the fact that this, and then he gets 50 home runs, 51st home run, 51st stolen base in the same game. I mean, that's a history game. Like we talked about when he did 40-40 that we would remember watching that game because it was so important. This is that game again where it's history. We will never probably see this in our lifetime.
Again. He may do it again. I will say
unless he's not pitching, I think he might do it again, but I think this is a once in a lifetime thing that for him to try to go for, because next year it's going to be all about pitching and hitting. And I don't think he goes for that many stolen bases while he's pitching. I think he's going to, you know.
Yeah, you're probably right. It's, it was an amazing feat to watch. And then, I was rooting for the triple in his last at bat, but dude, instead he hits a moonshot, like upper deck, like I said, we're not worthy. That was crazy. I was in awe today. What a neat thing to watch. And the most impressive thing to me was we did it with runners on.
Yeah, I mean, the game,
like, we did it with runners on, you know?
Here's another stat for you in that game. So the only other offense or only other Dodger that had an extra base hit was Paez.
Really?
Yeah. Then he had a double. Nobody else hit an extra base hit in the whole game. And we scored 20 runs.
That's crazy.
He hit 10 of them in.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't even know how many of the runs he was. Hold on. I didn't even look at that stat. If I click out of here, it's
gonna mess things up. It was 3 runs or something, I think, or 4 runs of that. Well,
he at least, we know definitely he was 3 runs.
Yeah.
He did get thrown out at home trying to, after he stole third base. Yeah. I don't know. It's just, I'm still trying to let it all seep in. Because it's an incredible thing that he did. And the fact that, you know, we got to watch it was pretty awesome. All right. We'll keep coming back to that. Let's kind of move on a little bit. So
I'll ask it for our listeners. Does that lock Shohei Ohtani into the MVP?
Oh, yeah.
Also, is he the best player to ever play baseball? What do you guys think? I want to ask that to our listeners.
Can you ask that already? And he's like not even halfway through his career.
I mean,
I guess you can. Sure. I mean,
I've never seen anything like it.
No. Yeah. No one has. And he hasn't even pitched yet. He hasn't even pitched for the Dodgers yet. He's not even going to pitch till next year. And he just did this. It's incredible.
I mean, Harper hasn't done it. Trout, but he's injured all the time, but still, like, I always thought Trout was a marvel as far as playing baseball. With the Angels,
I think Trout could have done it. I think Trout could have done something like this.
Yeah.
If you know, he was
stayed healthy.
He stayed healthy. He was younger, and then with this new, you know, pick up attempts too many times. Like once you do it three or a third times, you don't get him. You get second base. So it's. I think it's easier to steal bases now if this rule was put in effect. You know, 6-7 years ago, when Trout wasn't so injured all the time, I think he could have made a run for something like this. But
I don't. It's amazing. It's awesome, and the fact that he's a Dodger makes it even more special.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. Let's talk pitching because that's what we do on this podcast, and we have a decent amount of pitching to talk about as well. Somehow, we're going to talk pitching while this historic game just unfolded. All right, so Kershaw threw 80 pitches in the bullpen. So according to Dave Roberts.
Good news.
That's good news. That is definitely good news. Let's go ahead and look at this for a second. So Kershaw threw an extended bullpen session of over 80 pitches on Wednesday, throwing off an actual mound to test his injured left toe, rather than the temporary mounds he's been throwing from. So this article is from The Athletic. Roberts says, Roberts wasn't sure when Kershaw would face hitters in a simulated game, a next step before potential big league return. He said returning before the end of the regular season would not be a requirement for the postseason consideration, but there still remains a chance that Kershaw pitches in a regular season game anyways. So this is what he says. There's going to be a point when we all come together and we decide to fire the bullet and let him pitch for us. That's a weird way to say that.
Yeah,
I'm holding out hope that it happens. I don't think anyone knows when it's going to happen, but today was a big step in the right direction. Is that my watch going off with you, Mike Grimes?
No, it was me and Max texting.
Oh, Max is kind of, no, now he wants to jump in on this?
No, he's disappointed that he couldn't be here, and I was giving him a hard time that,
yeah.
Or I was giving props to his Jets that they won. Yeah. And, anyways, he said he couldn't watch it because he's predisposed.
It's fine.
He wished he was here.
He's partying right now.
Partying with
he's
the 5-year-old.
Partying with his other one Jet fan or something. Who knows? I know.
Anyways, back to the podcast of talking Dodgers.
All right, so that's actually promising. So he's still throwing at least 80 pitches. The only thing I'm curious of is what kind of bullpen session was it? What did they actually do in like a simulated game where he throws a certain amount of pitches, then he sits down, waits like 5-10 minutes, then he gets back up and pitches again, warms up and goes? Or is it just straight 80 pitches and then that's it?
It sounds to me like in Roberts' interview, I watched it earlier today, it sounds like Roberts had nothing to do with it and just Clayton was out doing what he had to do in the bullpen throwing to see how far he could go. He was working on different orthotics. It sounds like he's fine-tuned what orthotic works the best, and he's working on cleats. So Roberts was surprised in his interview today that he threw 86 pitches, and he essentially said that's a five-inning game. Like, that's pretty good for me. So it looks like he's just throwing to see how far he could go.
Yeah.
Before his foot started bothering him. And I guess orthotics, and gosh, he sounds like a elderly person, got these orthotics to go pitch. Orthotics. Kershaw needs orthotics to pitch, ladies and gentlemen. Like, I mean, we knew he was getting on the back end of his career, but orthotics. But I'll take it. We need another pitcher.
Just say it one more time.
Orthotics.
All right.
Kershaw's trying on orthotics to get back on the mound.
I'm not even sure we're even saying this right. Okay. So, I mean, that's good news because considering that, I mean, I was going to talk a little bit, that might segue into Bobby Miller and Michael Grove being sent down.
We don't need to go further into Kershaw, right?
I want to talk a little bit about Kershaw because whether Kershaw is actually one of the starters in the rotation.
He's going to have to be.
Well, I don't know if he's going to have to be because we have four right now. So, but if Kershaw comes back, I think it's just going to be a piggyback situation.
Let's circle back around to that when we talk about everybody dropping down, no?
It kind of goes hand in hand.
It does.
Because now that you don't have Bobby Miller in the mix for the rotation,
and for you,
that leaves a space open to keep them. I'm still a firm believer you're trying to give these guys as much rest as possible before you go into the playoffs.
Agreed.
Whether that means you don't want to do any more bullpen sessions because that taxes your bullpen unless you're bringing up a bunch of AAA guys that don't even matter, which we're already seeing some of them come up right now. Or you bring up another rookie and have them start a game. They got to do something to keep the separation. Let Yamamoto get as much rest as possible while you're still trying to stretch him out. Flaherty, he's been looking a little tired. You don't want to overuse him. Obviously, Walker Buehler, same thing. Coming back from Tommy John surgery, you want to rest him as much as possible. Landon Knack, I still feel like the best way with Knack is to not, you know, he's going to get figured out. He did a great job against the Marlins, considering how poorly Bobby Miller did the night before, and then all of a sudden Knack comes in and shuts him down. That just goes to show either the league hasn't figured out Knack yet or Knack's just better than I thought he was. Whatever the case is, like, he looks really good. And I mean, he's a good four, I think, now. But if you can get Kershaw in with his, with his knowledge of the game and stuff, whether he's stretched out fully or you use him as a piggyback or you at least have Knack sitting there behind him ready to go in case he falters pretty quick, I think that's a good recipe to have those five starters and however you decide to use them in piggyback situations or not, I think that would work pretty well. But that does leave space for Kershaw. So if Kershaw's throwing 80 pitches, let's say Kershaw threw 80 and you consider this one of his games. That means that Kershaw would be, if you wanted to use him four games from now, five games from now, that would be Bobby Miller's spot because Bobby Miller's spot was yesterday. Kershaw threw yesterday, right?
Yeah.
That would be Bobby Miller's spot.
And for the people that don't know, Bobby Miller and Michael Grove got optioned back to the minors.
Yeah, so they are gone. We will not see them for the rest of the year, I wouldn't think, unless someone gets injured and you need to bring Michael Grove back for some bullpen sessions.
Yeah, so
we're not going to see Bobby Miller, and it's unfortunate. And I still,
you know why Bobby Miller got sent down to the minors? Because he didn't take our advice and come into your office like everybody else did.
Yeah, that's right. Bobby Miller to me is I can't figure out Bobby Miller. Like, I understand that if he throws a dead straight fastball, but the velocity change alone with his fastball to his curveball to his changeup should be enough to throw hitters off. And that last game, they sat on every single pitch. It's like they knew exactly every single pitch he was going to throw. So I don't know if he's tipping his pitches or.
I think he's struggling so bad he pitches the same, like, fastball, the curveball.
Some of those balls, like, one ball was a high fastball, wasn't even in the strike zone. The guy hit it for a double on the right side. He just knew it was coming and smashed it. And I feel bad for him because I don't think his stuff looks that bad to be getting hit that much, especially, like, considering, like, the Marlins are, like, one of the worst offensive teams in baseball, and they look like a first-place team playing against him.
He's
like,
doesn't have it. They gave him enough rope. Well, I don't want to go there. He just couldn't perform. Bottom line is, that was his last chance, and he's going down to the minors. Grove got sent down too, though.
I mean, I'm a little shocked on Grove. I figured they would use Grove in the bullpen to kind of rest some arms.
Yeah, you know what they did instead? Activated Joe Kelly.
Yeah. I have a note.
I'm kind of surprised on that one.
I have a note on Joe Kelly. Here, let me go all the way down to my notes really quick.
You want to touch base on? I guess we can touch
base. I was going to say, hey, Joe Kelly got activated after sending Miller and Grove down.
Yeah.
So Joe Kelly, in his one inning that he pitched, he looked like a Major League Baseball player. So what that means is we'll get two more outings where he looks good, and then we'll get five where he looks like he's out of control, like Wild Thing Bond.
Yeah.
I'm calling it. Like, it's, he's too predictable now as far as like being inconsistent. Which is you shouldn't say. Those
I think
things
he's
together,
a better
but.
he's a better option than Bobby Miller right now.
Oh yeah, well he's a relief pitcher. So, but is he a better option than Michael Grove? Yes, if when he's on, he is a better pitcher than Michael Grove. But the problem is when he's off. When he's off, he doesn't throw competitive pitches, and all he's doing is just walking a bunch of people. He's throwing the ball in the dirt. There's wild balls going behind the catcher. It's too. That's too much for a pitch. You can't throw in a pitcher like that in the playoffs. I'm a firm believer. He's not going to, I don't think he'll be in the playoffs because it's not like it was. And I know I've said this a bunch of times. It's not like it was a couple years ago where you could bring a pitcher in to face one batter. And then if that guy doesn't pitch well, you take him out. Now, if you put him in, you're stuck with him for three batters. I don't think the Major League Baseball has a place for Joe Kelly anymore. Oh, that hurts to say.
Really?
Unless he can be consistent, he needs to be consistent. At least throw competitive pitches. If you're getting hit, that's one thing. If the ball's being hit, at least you have a chance to get an out. You know what I mean? A ball can get hit hard at somebody, and they can catch it on a line drive. They can make a fantastic play. They can get it on a hop. Whatever the case is, they have at least a chance. But if you're sitting there walking the bases loaded, you're throwing the ball in the dirt when there's a runner on third, like you can't do anything about that. He's just giving the game away.
No, I get it. I agree. So I heard an interesting interview about Kopech today.
Oh, what do you got?
Kopech made a comment how as much as he loves being a reliever, he yearns. He didn't use that word specifically. I'm using that. Yearns sounded like a good word to use. I don't know. Well, brushing up on my vocabulary after last week's podcast for Max's. Using his big brain and education on me. Anyways, Kopech wants to start. He misses going in as a starter and going four or five innings deep. I'm wondering if you bring Joe Kelly back and with a four-man rotation, I wonder if you give Kopech a shot to start.
Nah, it's too late. You can't stretch him out enough. You talking about the end of the season?
I don't know. He brought it up that he would like to start, or maybe he's a... piggyback guy like you talked about with Kershaw. But I like Kopech. I mean,
Kopech's the guy you save for the end of the game in the playoffs. Like, that's the guy you want coming in there throwing high 100.
Him or Blake?
Blake Trinan's a good... I mean, the way Kopech has pitched since the Dodgers got him, like, he's been the most consistent in the bullpen.
I agree. You want to take him out of there?
I wouldn't take him out of there, especially at the end of the rotation.
Anyway, I thought that was an interesting... tidbit or comment from him that he would like to be a starter, but
you almost said it again.
I think he's yearns to be a starter. I yearn to have a bigger vocabulary, so Max has stumped me. But anyways, so what are we looking at? Are we back? We're still pitching, right? Top four. You want to go into that?
I mean, I got a little video. We'll play my video while we're talking for those people that are on YouTube. By the way, don't forget to click that like and subscribe button. Help us spread like a virus.
I think we're still in the same boat we've talked about all week. Flaherty's our number one. You say Yamamoto's our number two.
Yeah.
Buehler's our number three. And right now, Knack's our number four. And hopefully we get Kershaw back as the number five.
Well, we would need a five. I think if you get Kershaw back, then I think you might just change the way you're going to use one of the other players. Because Kershaw's not coming out of the bullpen.
No.
Like he's either back as a starter or he just sits there and watches the games. Because... he's not a very good one inning pitcher. He needs to get a groove going.
What about Knack? Has Knack ever came in as middle relief?
Yeah, he's done that before.
I think Knack has to be available.
Besides, Knack's had a couple bad games. Obviously, one with the Braves, he got smashed. And there was another game, I'm trying to remember what it was. But most of the time, Knack's been pretty consistent all year. I don't know if you mess with him.
Well, maybe
he would be the person because Walker Buehler. I would think he needs to start the way he's been pitching. It takes him a little bit to settle in as well. And then obviously Yamamoto, because he's so lights out from the beginning, I wouldn't take him. I wouldn't bring him in from the bullpen. You just bring him in to start, and hopefully he just has really like a lot of low pitch innings with a, like less, like very little stress, and you can just stretch him out as long as possible, get five or six innings out of him. Flaherty's the one. I mean, right now his last couple outings just seems like he's just tired. He's still pitching pretty good, except for obviously the Braves, he got rocked around. But even this game against the Marlins, he gave up 3 earned runs. He didn't look as sharp as we've seen him, you know, in the past. Hopefully he's just kind of like, just, you know, it's the dog days. He's just trying to push through it and then save his energy for the actual games that mean something.
I mean, he's been our most consistent guy to go 5 and 6 innings. So,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Bottom line is, I mean, we need pitching going into the playoffs.
And I think we have it. As long as these guys stay healthy and they keep going in the right direction, Yamamoto keeps getting stretched out, getting more innings behind him, and so that way he can, you know, his pitch count can go higher. Courage, I mean, I already called it, Walker Buehler, this next game coming up, you're going to see an even bigger stride than last game. He keeps moving in the right direction. And I think now we're going to start seeing Walker Buehler from the old, because he's still got his velocity. He's still hitting his spots now. Now you just need that. His slider, or his, was it the slider, or was his knuckle curve? I don't remember. One of those pitches was looking fabulous last game. And I think that he's putting it together. Even if Knack falters a little bit, if you can get a solid Flaherty, Yamamoto, and Walker Buehler to give you 3 good outings, the way this offense is playing right now, if you think about it, the last 4 games, the Dodgers have what, scored 9 runs? No, what's like, what is it, 10, 9, 8, 20?
Yeah.
Like, the offense is clicking. And
Teoscar didn't even play today.
Yeah, he didn't start. I think he might have came in afterwards. I don't know why.
That's all right. Give him the rest.
Give him the rest.
Yeah.
But this is what this offense should be doing. I'm not saying it needs to score 8, 9 runs a game, but they should be giving
it. It might in playoffs.
The playoffs, I think, I mean, blow them out in the beginning. You know what I mean? Get 6, get 7 runs. Make things happen, because, that's the one thing that people keep thinking of. Like, everyone keeps talking about last year how we didn't have any starters going in, but it wasn't the reason. The starters isn't the reason why we lost. It was because we only scored 2 runs in the first game, 2 runs in the second game, and 2 runs in the third game. We only scored 6 runs total in the playoffs last season. We need runs, and with this offense, there's no reason why it's unacceptable if we only score 2 runs again.
Let me ask you this. If pitchers are struggling and our pitching's not what it's supposed to do and it's causing us games, do we see Shohei pitch in the playoffs?
No. I'll tell you right now, Shohei's not pitching in the playoffs. This is not happening.
I wouldn't put it past him to win a World Series and give an inning or two.
The only reason why I would consider Shohei pitching in the playoffs is if all of the arms we talked about in the bullpen, like Kopech and Trinan and Evan Phillips, who else am I thinking of? Vessier, like all those guys, all the reliable arms, all the guys you're relying on, all of a sudden they just fell off. Like, they were just, their arms fell off. They couldn't throw anymore. They kept blowing the game. And then all of a sudden, Shohei's sitting there going, you know, put me in, coach. I've been throwing. And you got, well, what else we got to lose? There's no reason why, like, to put him in. I think we have the right bullpen to do it. Once they're all firing on all cylinders, I think we have the offense. I think we've got the starting pitching. We should all be excited going into the playoffs, because I think we're gonna go far. We're going to go deep.
Dodgers are looking really good right now.
Yeah, man, they're also playing like really bad teams right now. So
that's
really
fine. Good. I'll take it.
Which, yeah, I'm gonna tell you right now, if they didn't win this game today, and that means they would have lost 3 series in a row. No, they didn't. I mean, they split the Braves series, but
yeah,
that would not have looked good. Now, when Colorado comes into town today for you listeners, they need to just dominate. They just need to just get a bigger lead. You know, there's no reason why you can't sweep Colorado. It needs to happen. They're a bottom feeder team. You're the top team. Go knock some sense into them. All right. I think that's going to do it for the player spotlight. Don't forget to click that like and subscribe button. Help us spread like a virus.
Yeah. You want me to go through that or what?
You got this ad. Go for it.
Okay. Player spotlight is brought to you by Rot Your Brain Media, the up and coming podcast company, delivers you top quality content across all podcast platforms. from sports entertainment to in-depth movie and TV reviews. Rot Your Brain Media is a go-to for fun and exciting content. Don't miss out. Visit the Patreon page at patreon.com/rotyourbrainmedia to support this dynamic new company and be part of something special. Subscribe now and get ready to have your brain truly entertained.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rot Your Brain Media. Don't forget to follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. I think we got a TikTok now, too. We're working on some exciting content to share on those platforms. But please, if you got any comments, concerns, you want to rip us a new one or tell me and Robbie that we do a horrible job without Max, yeah, or if the Jets suck,
give us some insight.
Give us some insight. I know I've got some good insight from our buddy Joe.
What'd Joe say?
Joe says we're going to trade some pitching to pick up Bo Bichette from the Blue Jays.
Oh, is that what he says?
Yeah. He thinks we're going to get rid of, I forget exactly who, but.
Did he send you a message? Read the message.
He did. Let me see. It's long.
I don't care.
All right. Give me a second. This is a shout out to our listener, Joe. Joe says his early offseason prediction is the Dodgers acquire Toronto Blue Jays shortstop Bo Bichette for a package deal with two starting caliber pitchers. He says, don't be surprised if it's Bobby Miller, which right now I wouldn't trade for Bobby Miller. And then, I don't know, whatever he calls for, he thinks, let's see, while it may be strange to predict the starting pitcher, the Dodgers should trade two, much less one of their pitchers. The truth is that they have a logjam for pitching. Five spots up for grabs, and among those competing for the two remaining spots. So right now we have Yamamoto, Glasnow, Shohei Ohtani, and then you got Buehler, Flaherty.
Those guys aren't under contract.
I know, but okay, Flaherty, well, Flaherty isn't, is he?
No, Flaherty's not, neither is Walker Buehler.
Okay, so Flaherty and Buehler aren't under contract, but then you got Dustin May, Tony Gosselin,
mm-hmm,
Miller, Gavin Stone, Kyle Hurt, Emmett Sheehan. I'm not familiar with some of those guys. And the wild card being Clayton Kershaw.
Well, Emmett Sheehan and Kyle Hurt, I believe they're both having Tommy John surgery, so they're not even going to be an option for next year.
You think they go after Bo Bichette? I don't see that happening.
Kershaw's under contract, so he's going to be one of the pitchers.
But they're not going to trade him.
Here's the thing with Bo Bichette. The only way they get Bo Bichette is if they get rid of Gavin Lux, and I'll tell you why.
Let's back up. Joe, thanks for the insight. I kind of butchered.
Yeah, Joe. Thank you.
I kind of butchered your take, but you got like five paragraphs here, and I was trying to shorten it up here, but that's all right.
So what I think is going to happen, if they go for Bo Bichette, which I don't think he's having a great year right now, he might just need a new place to bounce back, which I've always liked him. The only reason why I think the Dodgers wouldn't get him because they're so invested in Lux right now. And
he's having a big year.
Lux is having a decent year, but if you could trade Gavin Lux for Bo Bichette like 2 years ago,
maybe.
I think you do it. The question is, the Dodgers think that Bo Bichette would have a bounce back to do it. And the reason why I'm throwing Gavin Lux in there is because of Mookie Betts. So I still think the game plan for Mookie Betts is to bring him back into the infield, and I don't think it's going to be shortstop because the key with Mookie Betts is that you still have him for like seven more years, eight more years. I don't know, like his contract was very long. And what you want to get out of him is a productive Mookie Betts for as long as possible. Playing the outfield is not going to get you those productive years because at some point he's going to start falling off. Putting him at shortstop isn't going to rest him as much as you'd like it to because shortstop is a very demanding defensive position. Second base is probably where they want to put Mookie. But unfortunately, Gavin Lux has pretty much been locking it down this year. I think what they're going to do is they're going to give Gavin Lux another shot at shortstop in the spring and put Mookie Betts back at second base. I think they're going to re-sign Teoscar Hernandez. They're going to put him in right field because he actually plays a better right field than he does left field. And then they'll figure out what they do with left field afterwards.
Well, the other thing is with Tommy Edman can play short too. He's not a bad shortstop.
Tommy Edman can play short too, but then you still have an issue with what you're going to do with Lux.
Well, I just mean as a filler piece, like,
yeah,
if Lux needs a break or whatever, you can put Edmund at short. I don't think there's a huge need for a Bo Bichette at shortstop right now.
I don't think so either.
I like the idea, but the way Lux is playing, I don't think it's an option.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure I like that idea for Bo Bichette, but at the same time,
I mean, I wouldn't hate it if we end up with him.
Yeah, I wouldn't either, just as long as he's productive. I don't want to give away a piece. I feel like the Dodgers keep giving away pieces that end up being coming very good in other locations. Well,
I know. Every Dodger we've gotten rid of ends up having an all-star year, like Jason Worth and like... I can think of 1,000 other people.
I'm still stuck on Ryan Pepiot.
Yeah, Pepiot was most recent.
Pepiot's doing really good.
So what do you think? Let's talk about this, Robbie. Who do you think are the two odd men out that are going to be gone?
I mean, right now, the odd men are Flaherty and Walker Buehler. Just because of their contracts. And I think what's going
to
decide...
Do you trust us in May to come into the starting rotation over Flaherty?
I trust us in May because he's still considered a rookie and he doesn't like, not a rookie, but
yeah,
he's an arbitration player. Like you don't really need to pay him a lot of money and you can see if he's going to last or not.
I
don't know. Like if you look at, here's the other thing though, I kind of think, and maybe I said this last podcast, I'm not sure if I just said this to Max and you outside the podcast. I think Glasnow's more hurt than we're being told. I think one of the reasons why Glasnow left and went to go talk to his family or whatever, because I think he's going to have Tommy John surgery. So I don't think we're going to have Glasnow for like 2 years.
So if Glasnow is Tommy John, we're not going to have Glasnow? We're not going to have
I'm guessing. It just seems very odd how they've handled the Glasnow situation.
And the fact that he cleared out his locker and left, I thought it was kind of strange.
Yeah, considering that your team's going to the playoffs, like you'd think that he would stick around and kind of support
and
the team.
And then she's just that. And well, so the other thing is, it kind of ties into what you're saying, is maybe he was that pissed off and upset that he knew he had an opportunity to go pitch in the playoffs and maybe win a World Series, and now he's out and he can't play and he's pissed.
Maybe he's out. And
I
he's
mean,
pissed.
I would be. I mean, maybe, look, maybe with this team, and he could have had a chance to participate in helping us win a World Series, and now you can't. Probably one of the reasons why he's here. But anyways.
Yeah, we can guess all we want. So I think we're gonna hear bad news about him in the offseason. I do. I'm just calling that. And we can circle back to that one later. But if starting pitching, to give away starting pitching the way that the Dodgers handle their starting pitching, I think that's not a wise move to do. I think with Flaherty and Walker Buehler, what's going to determine what's done with them if they get an extension from the Dodgers is going to determine how they do in the playoffs. If Flaherty's like owns the playoffs and Walker Buehler bounces back and becomes Walker Buehler of the old, I can see the Dodgers trying to offer them something. It's not going to be super long-term contracts because you already have Yamamoto as a long-term contract. You have Glasnow for 4 more years. You have, Shohei Ohtani for 10, 12 years, and supposed to be a starter. I think he'll only pitch for maybe 4 or 5 more years. And
Buehler's
not.
Like 31, right?
He's 30. Maybe 31. What sucks about Buehler is Buehler got hurt right when he should have been getting shopped for a long-term contract.
Yeah, I agree.
And that sucks because now...
He's only be good for a one-year deal, dude.
He's going to get a one-year deal somewhere and try to prove himself to try to get a big contract. And I hope it works. I've always liked Walker
Buehler. If he was smart and if I was his agent and all he could get is a one-year deal, I'd re-sign with the Dodgers for another year.
If there's a place for him. The whole thing is going to be if there's a place for him. And the way the Dodgers' arms fall off like it's no tomorrow, this is the place, I guess, to go because you know you'll be a starter in a week because someone's going to have Tommy John surgery.
I'd like to see Flaherty stick around. I like him.
I would too, but I'll tell you right now, if that guy pitches one game in the playoffs and he gets rocked for 7 innings, seven runs, you're not going to feel the same way.
I think he has a quiet confidence about him that you've mentioned a ton.
Yeah.
And I don't think the playoffs are going to be too big for him.
I hope not. I hope he comes in and just keeps it under control. Man, if you could get 5, 6 innings out of him and he gives up just 3 runs, that's quality.
Yeah, we're looking good.
With this offense, that's a quality pitcher. I mean, sure, we want all of our starters to pitch shutouts.
Yeah.
In reality, I mean, that's not going to happen.
No.
So, I mean, maybe Yamamoto might do it the way he's been pitching.
I think he's going to come into his stride, and I think this stint of being injured is going to be good for him coming to playoffs. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to the run. Hopefully we have no more injuries and... the staff will be interesting to see what happens in the offseason, but let's go. But Shohei, lead us to the promised land. I've been harping on how a 50-50 season doesn't mean squat unless we win a World Series, but the way you play today and carry the team.
You think he gets 55-55?
The way he played today, yeah. I didn't even think he was going to get to 50-50.
I didn't think he was going to get to today, yeah.
I was always saying he was going to be one homer shy, but...
I thought he was going to wait till he got back into L.A. and then he probably hit his 50th homer.
Yeah.
51-51. So, I mean, he could give four more home runs.
I don't know how good the Rockies are.
They're terrible. They're the worst team in the West. They're the worst team in the National League.
You think he goes 55-55?
I mean, I'd rest him now just to make sure that he's healthy for the playoffs.
60-60?
There's no... Get out of here.
He's got 51 or 52 homers.
He has 51 homers, 51 stolen bases.
9 home runs in how many games? Oh, and I think our magic number is 6. I think we need 6 to clinch the West.
Did the Padres win?
I don't know. Let me look.
Actually, they didn't play. The Padres didn't play. So now the Dodgers won. So now they're 4 games up on them, which is actually really only 3 because the Padres have the tiebreaker. Yeah. He knows baseball.
You do know baseball.
All right. Let's do the preview or... Let's recap the Marlins-Dodgers series. Ready, set, boom, here we go. Tuesday's game, the Dodgers lose this 9-11. That's right, the Dodgers scored 9 runs. The Marlins scored 11. Bobby Miller goes 2 innings pitched, gives up 7 hits, 4 earned runs, 1 walk, and 2 Ks. Michael Grove decides, you know what, I can do better than that. Only lasts 1 2/3 inning, gives up 3 hits, 3 earned runs, 1 walk, and 1 homer. So, because of their poor performances, they are now no longer part of the major leagues. They are now down to AAA. Ohtani goes 1-for-5 with 1 home run. That, I believe, is his 49th homer. And he gets 2 RBIs. Betts goes 2-for-5. Max Muncy goes 3-for-5, 2 doubles, and 5 RBIs. You know, I don't know if we talk about Max Muncy as much as we should be talking about him, but ever since he got back into the lineup after being injured for 2 months... Like, I really feel like he is the glue that ties the top and the bottom part of this lineup together because he's so sneaky because he gets these walks and everybody looks at his batting average. But I'm telling you right now, he's on pace. Like, if he didn't get injured those 2 months, he might have actually hit 40 home runs this season.
Yeah, he's playing really well.
He's playing really well.
I was knocking him a little bit when he came back. I thought he was on the back end and he was going to start falling off.
No, man, he's looking really good,
which is a good thing. I just thought he'd fall off, but I don't know. We're looking good. I'm kind of just in awe of what everything that transpired today. I just can't get over.
I know
what he did, and we clinched a playoff spot today.
Oh yeah, we clinched.
So
we
are in. Thank you, Shohei.
We're at least gonna be. Final wild card.
Yeah,
if
at
we
least.
Completely fall apart, we're at least the final wild card.
Well, that San Diego series is going to be pretty big because we only got 4 games on them right now. But
yeah, but it would have been nice to have a bigger lead going into playing them, which
we could. Let's go sweep the.
We could.
Let's go sweep the Rockies.
We sweep the Rockies. Yeah. Padres lose 2. You know, then all of a sudden the Dodgers can sit there and they can put their AAA team in there and have them play against them. But I'd rather they go in as a force. Here's the thing, though. If you look at the playoff bracket, which we talked about it before, right now the Dodgers sit in second place. With the second best record in the league or in the National League. So that means they'd go in as the second seed. They wouldn't play the winner of, if everything stays the way it does and Arizona plays San Diego, they wouldn't play the winner of that game. They would play the winner of, I think it'd be Brewers or Braves. So that means, I don't know. Like I fear Arizona and the Padres more than everybody else just because the Padres knocked us out the year prior, and then Arizona knocked us out last year. So,
well, one thing we do, there is a good news. The good news about Arizona and San Diego, they have a 3-game series to finish the season.
Play against each other?
Yep.
Which is interesting because that means if everything stays the way it does, they play 3 games against each other, then they play 3 more games against each other in the playoffs.
Yeah.
That kind of sucks for them. We'll sit back and watch.
I'm hoping New York gets their act together and the Mets knock one of them out.
No, we can't root for any New York teams, especially when Max isn't here. All right, let's move on to the second game. Wednesday's game. Dodgers win 8-4. Landon Knack comes in and goes, hey, remember me? Pitches 5 innings, gives up 2 hits, 0 earned runs, walks 2, strikes out 7. He goes, hey, I could be the fourth man in your starting rotation, and the Dodgers agree. Joe Kelly gets activated because they send down Michael Grove and Bobby Miller, and I already talked about him. He pitched one inning. He looked pretty decent, but at the same time, I think you'll get one more inning out of him than he looks good, and then it'll just be like Rick Vaughn from the Cleveland Indians.
Hopefully not.
Shohei Ohtani goes 1-for-5, gets his 49th stolen base. Freddie Freeman goes 3-for-5 with a double. Tommy Edmonds, which is the other piece of this offensive mastermind put together by Freeman. Yep, he goes 1-for-5 with a homer, 2 RBIs. Will Smith decides, hey, I can still hit. Goes 2-for-4, also contributes a home run. So the offense is clicking. Unfortunately, it was a down day for them because they only scored 8 runs, but it was still a very productive day.
Yeah, we got the win.
Got the win. All right, let's go into the last game. Let me pull up my reel. Spent time putting this together, so we're going to go click on some buttons and make this thing happen. Thursday's game, which was today, yesterday for you guys listening. All right, here we go. So the Dodgers win 20-4. Flaherty goes 6 innings pitched, 3 earned runs, 2 walks, 5 Ks, gives up 2 homers. He's still giving up the long ball. We got to start thinking about that's a no-no. And then, some guy goes 6-for-6 with 3 home runs, 2 doubles, 10 RBIs, 2 stolen bases, actually has 17. Let me see. My father-in-law sent me something. I just looked at this. Hold on. Let me
shout out to the father-in-law.
Yeah. Mark.
All right, Mark.
What did Mark send me? It says, Ohtani had 17 total bases.
That's insane.
Insane. Insane. And you know what everybody else did? It doesn't matter. Because Ohtani went 6-for-6 with 3 home runs, 2 doubles, 10 RBIs, and 2 stolen bases. I didn't even write down everybody else's stuff. All you got to know is Ohtani was responsible for 10 of those runs. Somebody else hit in 10 runs. Or combined, the other team hit in, rest of the team hit in 10 RBIs. Other than that, blah, blah, blah. So the Dodgers took 2 out of 3. They're 4 games ahead of Padres, which is really 3 because of the tiebreaker. They're still in a really good spot. So I'm not ready to say it's sealed that they're going to win the West. I think if they take 2 out of 3 from the Colorado, I'm going to call it.
All right.
I'll call it.
2 out of 3?
2 out of 3. Is that okay?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. I'm just doing math in my head. I know we're 6 games out to clinch it, but it's...
If we had our stat guy, we'd probably sound a little bit better when we talk about them numbers.
That's all right. I'm not a big analytics guy.
You know what? I don't want to be, but I feel like I have to be just because it's just the way that it's going.
Yeah, it's just disappointing.
I'm going to need your help, though. Can you pull up the stats on the Rockies? Where do they sit as far as like...
I can do that. Let me look it up.
Yeah.
What do you want me to see here?
I
want to
know where they sit as far as batting average, offensive stats, defensive stats. What's their pitching look like? Blah, blah, blah. The normal stuff that Max would do. When he's not partying like they just like the Jets just won the Super Bowl.
He gets it from MLB, right?
Hmm.
Let's go this way.
Not really too sure.
Me either. Well, we know they're 59-94, and runs scored is 645. They give up 868. Let's go to Colorado here.
We should just call Max right now. I know. Just be like, hey, man.
Hey, we need stats.
I'm going to call him. It might be too late. You might be trying to put the kids to sleep, but let's see what happens.
Are you really going to try to call him?
Why not?
Okay. Can you loop him in?
I'm not going to loop him. I mean, I'll put him on speaker.
I'm just kidding.
That's about as good as we can loop him in. Let's see.
Splits? Is that what I want to look at?
Hold on. Let's see if we got him.
We're trying to call Max at home. He's not going to answer.
Yeah, let's see. Maybe he does. He's passed out. He's not going to answer. What a waste of a phone call.
Don't waste your minutes, man.
All right. Well, it is what it is. Let's just say this. The Dodgers should probably have, better stats than the Rockies.
Yeah.
Hopefully, let's see. What's the pitching matchup then? Let's look at that then. Why not? If you made it this far in this podcast and you haven't hung up on us yet, you should go check out our Patreon page. Help support us create new content. Every little donation helps us make new episodes of this show and future shows that we have yet to announce or we have announced but haven't started yet. That's how we roll right now.
Follow us on Twitter or X.
Yeah.
Facebook, Instagram, TikTok.
Sure.
Et cetera.
All right. So let's see. Pitching matchup for tomorrow. Who do we got? We got Freeland versus to be announced. The Dodgers have yet to announce their starting pitcher for tomorrow's game.
Yeah.
Well, that's not good. What about, let's see.
Bueller on Saturday.
Bueller on Saturday?
Night. Yeah, Bueller and Quantrill. I need glasses.
Yeah, Bueller Quantrill on Saturday. And then Sunday it is Yamamoto versus
Senzatella.
Yeah, sure.
Senzatella.
Like not going to work here no more. That's for darn sure.
Right? Oh, man. So we got to go for a sweep there because then we go into the San Diego series.
Yep.
And then Brandon Knack versus King. And then we got Flaherty. You know what? That's weird. We have two empty starting spots. So who are we missing?
Well, Bobby Miller. That's one. I think the one, if you're looking at a bot, so I'll tell you right now.
Who starts?
If Bobby Miller was scheduled to start against San Diego, Kershaw will not be taking that spot.
You don't think Kershaw pitches Thursday?
I don't think if they do bring in Kershaw, he would not pitch against San Diego. I promise
you. He's got to pitch one game in the regular season.
It wouldn't be that. It would be whatever's after that.
He got smoked last time he faced San Diego. He needs a redemption.
What's our last series? Our last series is
Colorado. Three games at Colorado.
He might pitch that.
And then what do you say? Because right now they got Bueller, Yamamoto, and Knack. So bench Knack and have him pitch the last game of the season on Sunday?
Who knows?
Who do you think is going to start in Bobby Miller's spot?
I don't know. They'll bring in somebody.
Well, Kelly's not a starter, right?
No, they might do it. That might be a bullpen game.
What do our listeners think? Who's going to start in Bobby Miller's spot?
Maybe they bring up, I don't know.
Maybe Gonsolin.
Ooh, I forgot about Gonsolin. It's possible. I don't know how stretched out he is, but
if they were smart, they'd keep their mouth shut and bring him in out of nowhere. It's possible. He's thrown a little bit.
Yeah, he's also been rocked.
Yeah, true.
Who knows? Maybe they bring in Gonsolin to like the very last game of the season or something. Or maybe Gonsolin does take Bobby Miller's spot next time around.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, but we're getting to the back half of the season. We weathered the storm with our injuries so far. We're still leading the West. Clinched a playoff spot today. Shohei's showing that he's a lock for the MVP.
Oh, he's locked.
After today, dude, there's no, like, he's the MVP.
Yeah. All right. I think that's going to do it for this episode of Talking Dodgers.
Exciting day.
Don't forget to click that like and subscribe button. Help us spread like a virus.
Like a virus.
You'll get notifications when we upload new episodes. We are also on YouTube. For everyone that's listening, go check out our YouTube page, Roger Brain Media.
And Twitter
and stuff like that.
And Facebook and Instagram and TikTok. Drop us a line.
We're floundering.
No, we're not floundering. We just got our pages up recently.
Patreon page, patreon.com/writeyourbrainmedia.
Yeah.
Help support us create new content. With new content comes great responsibility. And on that note, we will catch you next time. Go Dodgers. Go
Dodgers.
50-50 club. Congratulations.
We're not worthy.
Shohei.
Shohei.